Good morning on a Thursday. We have a lot to do even in the first hour of the show today. A will they, won't they for the Detroit Lions. We'll make picks, championship picks, and some big games in the NFL. I got a text last night from John's favorite host on the station. We'll get to that in a second. I think his head's going to explode.
Yeah, you just said this morning that you got a text, my head would explode. You didn't tell me who it was from.
I just said it was your favorite host. We'll get to that.
Oh, okay. Well, but I do see it on the rundown. I would actually, we could debate the smarm on the favorite host because there's a couple that could fit this, but.
I know. I wanted to leave the imagination open for the listener. Yeah. Anyway, Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov and Greg behind the glass. Good morning.
Good morning. It's a good morning. Yeah. Really? You're going to start with that, and then I'm going to have to go to... Sorry, good morning across the great state of Michigan.
Yes.
And it's going to get cold. I know, Heather, you said it was cold coming in. And yes, technically, it is below freezing. It's a little chilly, but it's going to get bitter cold today. So crank up that heat and stay warm today.
Yes. The Pistons lost last night. You're going to... Oh, bitterly cold even. The Pistons lost last night.
All my favorite people are joining in this morning.
Look, you're going to lose north of 20, maybe even 30 games if you're a good team in the NBA. So I don't want to make a big deal out of any one loss.
Unless you're OKC.
Right. They might lose like four games all year. Yeah. I don't know. Most teams, even good teams, are going to lose 20 to 30 games. Having said that, some losses are bad losses. I think last night's a bad loss.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, you start off the game and you're absolutely killing them. And then you let your foot off the gas and then things go from bad to worse. And Isaiah Stewart wants to shake a fist at someone and he gets ejected. And like it's reputation. It's just being irresponsible.
Yeah, I mean, the cliff notes for people. They jump them early. Giannis gets hurt. Detroit gets suckered into taking too many threes for their style of play, give up 35 in the fourth quarter, and you're right, Isaiah Stewart gets baited into two technical fouls and kicked out of the game. That's a bad loss.
It's just frustrating because it is a bad loss. Like, there are going to be losses. You look at it and you go, eh, all right, it was a loss. It's going to happen. This one shouldn't have happened. And you get to the end of the season, and every single game you look back and go, well, if we had won this one more game, maybe we'd have got home court. If we had done this, maybe we'd had a different matchup. This is just one where you look at it and you go, that was bad from all around. All around. And JB nailed it, right? It's the defense in the fourth quarter. You allow 35. Like, what are you doing? And part of that is this, Stewart's not there.
Yes. Beyond that, I got nothing else. There's a bad loss. Don't have too many of them. Haven't had many, period, this season.
No.
17 and 5.
And especially with all the Giannis talk yesterday. Did you see that?
I did. Does he want out? And
yeah. His agents are working. It seems really odd for him to, or for that to come out now. Like, the trade deadline's not until February. Mm-hmm. And we had that conversation last summer. Would you want the Pistons to go get Giannis? And now it's just ramping it up. But the problem is, for him, this year he hasn't been able to stay healthy.
Yeah, do you feel any differently?
No.
About that conversation with Giannis?
No. I mean, everybody would, yeah, sure. I think there's probably every other team would be like, yeah, we'd love to have him on our team, but yeah. I don't think I really want to give up much for him.
Right, that's the crux of it. Like, are you gutting Ivy and Durin and firsts, plural, to do it? The key thing would be, Cade's not shooting well from three this year. Durin and Asar don't shoot well from three. If you're throwing Giannis on the floor, who also doesn't shoot well from three, you're going to have to win a lot of rock fights. And they could. It's right. Just kind of an awkward fit. He's a superstar player. I don't want it to come across the wrong way.
Correct.
But this team also isn't in a position where they have to do anything.
And he's going to be a free agent. Do you want to get Max him out after the year? No, thanks.
Right. Okay, so when I say I got a text from John Jansen's favorite host on the station, it could be a number of people when I say it sarcastically.
Yes, I know, and I'm...
It could be,
I'm sitting down, and I'm going to take a deep breath, and I'm going to try and do my best not to get too irritated.
because it could be, you know.
Yeah.
It could be, can I get an amen? It could be Jeff Rieger. Who was it that texted me last night? Something that John is going to be bothered by.
Well, earlier in the week, I know who was texting, and it irritated the hell out of me. It brought up a topic I didn't even want to discuss. So go ahead, lay it on me.
This is a topic that came up on our station at 6 o'clock. This is a text from Jeff Rieger. By the way, if you're interested, I asked Wojo a question, and the responses were wild. The question, you get two choices. One, the Lions win tomorrow and keep their playoff chances alive. Option two, the Lions lose tomorrow. Season is over. You get a better draft pick, easier schedule, and Brad Holmes is made to realize he needs to change his philosophy on the trenches. Full phone lines, 90% selecting option two.
That's dumb. That's dumb. This is an idiotic question. And you're right. It did. This irritates the hell out of me. First of all, I hate the either or, and you know, they're bad options. But there actually is a good option in here. Lions win.
Yes.
Lions win.
Of course.
You take option one, and then let's do this again next week. Hey, we got a couple of options. Lions win. They go out to L.A. and they get a win and they keep their playoff hopes alive. Or they lose. They get a better draft pick. Blah, 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 blah. No, you always want to win. That's stupid.
Wojo refused to believe anyone would choose option two. I said, well, you told me 90% are picking option two.
He must be well-educated.
Yeah, where'd he go to school? Rieger said Wojo was calling them dumb and trolls.
Okay, but basically what I just said too.
Yeah.
Yes, okay, I'll throw in trolls. Yeah, because the troll asked the question.
It is a little bit like the Tiger conversation we got into, right? Where you and I are going, hey, as angry as we are at the shortcomings of the trade deadline, as upset as we are about their possibilities of winning a World Series, we want our team to be in the playoffs and see what happens. It's the same question. I don't actually want to do this as a serious topic. I just thought your response would be great. Of course you want the Lions to get in.
Yes.
In a year where there is truly no great team.
Because
as unlikely as it may be that they would win the Super Bowl, of course you want them in the playoffs. Come on now.
I also believe, and I want to give enough credit to Brad Holmes, because even though, yeah, maybe the honeymoon's over, he's not on the hot seat. I think he is the best GM that the Lions have had maybe ever. And I do think he's smart. I think he's going to look at things and say, maybe I didn't do as good of a job. I know Dan will look and say, maybe I didn't do as good of a job. I think Penei Sewell, I think Jared Goff. It goes all the way down from there. They're all going to take a hard look and say, how did we make our life harder this year? And if they make the playoffs, all right, hey, let's find a way to keep winning. If they don't, like, what was the major factor? Even if they make the playoffs, what was the major factor that made our lives hard?
If they make the playoffs and don't win the Super Bowl, they're still going to have to do that same evaluation because yes. The standard is to win the Super Bowl. I was thinking
and Brad is one, the only GM that has actually said that's the goal.
I was thinking a lot about when we talked to him in the run-up to this season.
Check my heart rate.
It's okay, buddy. When we talked to him a couple times in the offseason, there were certain things he was stubborn about, right? The edge position, but there were other things that he conceded. Like he talked about the offensive line being something in training camp that needed to be solidified. We can get into whether he was surprised by Ragnow or should have been prepared for Ragnow. I think he knew that was going to be an issue going into the season. I mean, when you're putting Ratledge at center in camp to see as a rookie and then putting him back over to guard, like you're actively trying to sort that out. I think they knew that could be a bugaboo this year. To see it be as ugly as it's been, there's no doubt whether they're in the playoffs or out of the playoffs or they win a playoff game or not, that is the area he's going to have to most aggressively address. In addition to hopefully having the eyeballs and the light bulb go on at the edge position too.
Yes. I'm hoping, and again, I'm not advocating for Myles Garrett or go and steal Micah Parsons from the Green Bay Packers. It's you need some competency on the other side. And it's not just in getting to the passer. That's the number one thing.
Yes.
But it's also in being able to be a good run-stopping team so that you don't give up an 8-yard run on third down when it's third and seven to go. Like, because you're not going to have Aleem McNeil out there in that situation, so you need somebody that could do both.
248-539-9797 for phone calls and texts. We got picks coming up at 6:35. And I'm running away with this now.
Yeah, I don't care.
That's not good for everybody else.
No.
I also have something to tell you, John. For the very first time this season, there will be a Costa lock in the picks.
Oh, all right.
There will be a Costa lock. About time,
yeah. Well, boy, we're all on the edge of our seats about that one.
Well, it's a big tease. Anyway,
he's getting cocky. Here we go. He has to mention when he's leading the picks outside of the pick segment, and now he's doing locks.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I got to make it interesting. I mean, if nobody else is going to catch me, add a little extra juice to it.
By the way, if the Lions do get a higher pick, I mean, do you really want them reaching for KC Concepcion?
Okay. This is appropriate. Yeah. Smarm alarm. But there is a lot of pressure on the Lions tonight. This is a big game in the Wojo voice. Big game. Coming up next, I want to talk about the Lions under the most pressure. I've got five guys. We'll talk through
it. Oh, five guys.
No fries.
Fries.
No fries, John. It's 97.1. Some of the response coming in, 248-539-9797. This is the most important regular season game in the Holmes-Campbell era because if you lose, the season is a total failure. How's that for stakes? Get to the Lions, I think, under the most pressure coming up here in just a second. I got five names. If the Lions were 3-9, I'd say lose for the draft. But because there's a chance for the playoffs, there's still a chance of winning the division. Team, keep winning.
Yeah.
Rieger, a non-athlete who would lose at most of his checkers games, by the way.
Yeah,
JB
who actually
from Flushing.
Did lose to me in an athletic event.
You guys ran around a building, right?
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't even close.
I think he loses a tic-tac-toe.
He probably does to his daughter.
Not intentionally.
No. This isn't, I'm going to lose so you can keep playing and I want to see you smile. This is, I lose just because I'm a dumbass.
Cookies, you forgot. Rieger mentioned that option two would also make Brad publicly apologize to the fan base for his bad choices, Mike and Fenton. It does not change the answer. Come on. Rieger is a narcissistic troll. He could be moved to the midnight slot for all I care. Unnamed texter on his way to work says, I don't want to have to listen to him.
Good thing on that is, so Jim sent me Rieger's text. He didn't send it to you because he didn't want you to see it until you want to see your reaction on the air.
He didn't want to ruin my night.
Exactly. But the way it was, he takes joy. There was joy in the way he was sending that to you, that he was trolling and he knew that he was getting under Lions fan skin.
Well, he was getting under Wojo skin because 90% of people were taking the choice where they lose. The glee that you could get from the screen.
Can you imagine what your life might be like to sit there all day long and think about different ways that the three-letter words could come up or rear its ugly head and fantasize about all of those different conversations that you can have on air? I really do think that's his fantasy.
That's the word, John, is that he does fantasize about it.
Yeah, and I think that's how he gets when all of a sudden, I'm under Wojo's skin. I'm doing radio where people are just mad at me.
He just rubs his hands together and
Okay, we got picks coming up at 6:35. We'll get into a will they, won't they with the Lions at 6:50. Tech says, "Wow, John's firing like a T-Rex got loose and Acosta locked this morning. Boys, we're ready for Thursday night football.
I know. It's game day. Let's go."
All right, John, I have compiled five Lions under the most pressure for this game tonight. And this is for the season, so pressure is kind of the key thing. Number five, Isaac Tesla. St. Brown's banged up. We don't know if he's going to go. You got five catches on the year. Can we see more from a guy who they gave up a haul to get?
There's a chance he could double that number in one game.
I absolutely think tonight would be the night to do it. If you think the Cowboys are going to get up and down and you're going to need to score, he's not Pickens, he's not Lamb, but he's going to have a night tonight.
Yeah, and this defense is, because we've built it up, and I don't want to get into too much of your other ones here, but it's not a great defense.
Correct.
It's become a good defense. But it's not a great defense. There's opportunity in the middle of that defense. That's where Isaac Tesla should really excel.
Number four, Brian Branch. The defense has one takeaway in the last four games. They miss Kirby Joseph. Branch is usually around the football, right? Instinctive player.
Yeah.
Corner, safety, blitzer, in the box, run game. Go get the football. Take it away. Tip it, catch it, punch it out, fall on it. Go get a takeaway tonight to help an offense that doesn't go on long drives, that doesn't pick up a lot of third downs. Give them a short field or hell, house it yourself. I think Brian Branch, a lot of pressure tonight to be that difference maker on defense that we know he can be, that we haven't been seeing.
And I'll say, I'll add one more thing. I love his aggressive nature. I love the big hits, but let's go a night without a penalty.
Be nice.
Because you take those big moments and you kind of, and you ruin it.
Well, and that's part of being in a pressure spot is holding your composure and being cool. Number three, Jahmyr Gibbs. Lions are bad on third down. The line's inconsistent. The Cowboys front's been shutting down the run the last three games, especially throwing Quinnen Williams into the mix. How do you avoid third down? How do you bail out an offense so you don't need a 13-play drive? You get more than what's blocked. For as much as we talk about Montgomery, he'll get what's blocked and fall forward.
Yeah.
Gibbs is someone who will get what's blocked and then tack on 30 or 40 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Gibbs in a big spot in a tough matchup against a good front has to make guys miss, get to that second level himself and the third level himself. A lot of pressure on your running back. He's the guy that bails out the offense.
Okay.
Number two, you could say this guy should be number one, Aiden Hutchinson. 2.5 sacks in the five games since he signed his contract. The pressures are down. Time to pressure for the Lions is the lowest in the league. So when they get that pressure stat, it's not 2 seconds into the dropback. It's 3 or 4 seconds into the dropback. This team has a couple tackles that aren't special. Aiden is supposed to be special. Good, very good, great. Tonight needs to be a night where he announces his presence with authority, impacts the quarterback, speeds up the timing of a quarterback. Whether that turns into 3 sacks or not, he needs to be a game record tonight. He needs to look like what Micah Parsons looked like on Thanksgiving Day at Ford Field.
Yeah, it's the amount of impact plays, not the amount of pressures, not the amount of times where, hey, you make a tackle, but it's at the line of scrimmage. It is impact plays in the most important moments. And that could come in the first quarter, could come in the fourth quarter.
Number one, lying under the most pressure. You've heard of a gut check? I think this is a grit check tonight. Dan Campbell under the most pressure. You are not the team of last year. You need to find a way to win. That back-to-back stat where they don't lose 2 in a row, that's at risk tonight. Playoffs are on the line. Is this team gritty enough? They might not be good enough. Are they gritty enough? It's a grit check. The pressure's on Dan to keep this team in the hunt tonight and have them playing and outplaying what they've done this season. Thoughts?
I like your list, and I do like Dan Campbell being number one. When you get to those third and longs, fourth and shorts, like decisions in those situations are going to be very critical.
John, punt and give your defense 30, 40 more yards
or
to get a stop.
Or take the 3 points.
Or take three and stay in the fight because you do not convert third and fourth down the way you did. You don't have the line you did last year. I need to see some grit. I need to see them win ugly. Win, period. Keep the train on the tracks.
And I'll address this more a little bit later in the show, but I'm surprised that there's no O-lineman on this list or the offensive line in general or Jared Goff.
Well, we've had the convo about Goff where
Yeah, but I think tonight, if you're a guy that can elevate those around you, tonight would be the night. And it doesn't have to, I'm not talking about Jahmyr Gibbs, I'm not talking about any of the receivers. I'm talking about you can elevate your O-line. What have you been doing throughout the course of the week to help them in protections, in the communication that needs to happen?
Let's get to Heather with the news.
Hey, this news is sponsored by Gardner White. Well, you guys give yourself a little pat on the back there. According to some new data, Michigan drivers are the best drivers in the country.
If you believe this.
When it comes to safety, skill, and how they handle the road.
And I appreciate you saying you guys. I'm assuming that you meant us just because we're men and men are leading the way in good driving.
Oh, please. No, that's not what I was implying, but take it as you will, okay. I guess, if that's how you'd like to look at it. So the state consistently ranks high in metrics like low accident rates, fewer traffic violations, and responsible driving habits. It says Michigan leads the nation with just 20.9 incidents per 1,000 drivers, including crashes, DUIs, speeding, and citations. Florida and Colorado follow right behind us. But experts say that we're the best drivers because we have great driver education programs. We also apparently have strict enforcement of traffic laws.
Okay.
According to this, they also say we have like a diverse roadways, so we get a lot of experience driving on many different types of roads.
Oh, sure. Yeah. 75 is obviously a little bit different than those two tracks you get to.
Yeah. So, you know. There you go. Now, on the other end of things, North Dakota has the worst drivers in the U.S., followed by New Jersey and Utah.
Huh. So. Utah.
Yeah. It's going to cost you more to cross the Ambassador Bridge next year. So starting on January 1st, the rate for automobiles, buses, motorcycles will increase by $1 from $9 to $10. Vehicles with trailers will also increase from $18 to $20. Will also increase for commercial vehicles as well. The Gordie Howe International Bridge is expected to open at some point.
In 2026?
Yes.
They say.
They say, but they have not announced toll rates yet there.
Is the holdup on the from the Canadians or from us?
I don't know.
I mean, come on, let's lay some blame.
It's those Canadians, of course, right? Who knows? Former NBA center Eldon Campbell, who spent 15 years in the league, passed away unexpectedly on Monday, just 57 years old. He was a member of the Pistons during the 2004 NBA championship team. He spent parts of two seasons with the organization from 03 to 05. He also spent a majority of his career with the Lakers, but spent time with the Charlotte Hornets, with the Seattle Supersonics, and the New Jersey Nets as well.
Way too young.
Way too young. A 40-year-old Ferndale man is being accused of exposing himself to a child at Splash Village in Frankenmuth. Not the first time a story like this has happened there. An arrest warrant was issued on Tuesday, and the Saginaw County prosecutors charged the suspect with two indecent exposure counts. According to the warrant, the child, who was a young girl, reported the incident to the lifeguards, who then told police, and they got on the case very, very quickly.
What are you doing over there?
You finally make it up to Brownhurst, did you?
Oh, that's so bad. That's so bad. Don't do that.
Oh, my gosh. You guys.
Mew.
You remember that alligator that was in the news recently that was found in a Detroit home? A mother found it in her son's bedroom after he passed away.
Yeah.
And it was in this really small aquarium. It had no room to move. Animal Magic came, rescued it. Well, they've named him. His name is now Navigator.
Oh,
okay.
And he is now moving to Florida.
Oh.
To a sanctuary there. So he's getting a new home.
Mm-hmm. Where more of his kin are.
Yes.
Yeah. Homecoming for him.
Yes.
It's Heather with the news. Coming up next, we've got the picks. It's 97.1.
Hey.
Picks brought to you by Shaner Roofing, mymichiganroof.com. Yeah, I made up a little more. I picked up a little more of a lead because I was the only one willing to pick the Green Bay Packers last week. Got a 5-game cushion on Heather and Tom. Greg is 10 games back. And John, I don't know how you do it every single week, but
it's a skill.
You went 1-6. You're 12 games back.
Yep. It's like Stoney winning the big check with picking as many wrong as possible.
All right, we're going to start with championship weekend in college football. How about the American Conference Championship? North Texas travels to Tulane in New Orleans, taking on the Green Wave. North Texas is favored by 2.5 points, Jim.
Tulane's going to meet their mess-to-maker. The quarterback in North Texas has a great matchup against the number 93rd ranked pass efficiency defense. Give me the mean green.
Hey, it's a championship game. You never know what's going to happen. And I'm going to go with an old friend of mine, Patrick Ramsey, number one draft pick by the Washington Redskins, and he is an alumnus of the Green Wave at Tulane. So give me the Green Wave.
Oh, stop. You don't like Patrick Ramsey. Come on.
Ever. Mark. Why wouldn't I? He's a great kid.
Well, the only thing I know about either of these teams, well, I don't know anything about their teams, but Tulane, the only thing I know about them are their disease-infected monkeys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I want nothing to do with that. I'm going with North Texas.
As good a reason as any.
Look out for the monkeys.
Sarah has a cousin that went into a graduate program at North Texas studying marine biology. This is for three generations of Hargrave that attended Tulane Medical School and a preseason wager I had for Tulane to make the playoff. Go Green Wave.
One went away.
All right, I'll split the difference here. I'm doing a Heather. I don't know much about these teams. I like the nickname Mean Green. I don't like Green Wave quite as much. What's a green wave?
It's an ocean wave that's green. It's very
mean. The water's blue.
I like it.
Mean Green.
Yeah, not down there.
To Arlington, Texas, Jerry World, Texas Tech, taking on BYU in a rematch. Texas Tech is favored by 12.5 points, John.
So I think Texas Tech is going to win this one, but I think BYU makes enough adjustments. You could call this a neutral site or not because it's in Arlington, Texas for Texas Tech, and they're going to have a lot of fans there. But, you know, I think BYU, they're going to play for their coach, who made the decision to stick with his team, to be a stand-up guy, a guy of his word, say, I don't care about all this other stuff going on. It's about the relationships with my players. It's about the relationship I built with this university. It's about the relationship I have with the athletic director. I made a promise. I'm sticking by it. Let's go BYU.
It's about the money from Crumble Cookie is what it is.
Well, I don't know anything about BYU, but I do know that there's one reality show that's really popular, but I really can't stand, and that's The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. So I'm going to pick Texas Tech.
Okay. This is a pick that's more heart than head, and that has nothing to do with generating chaos. Don't let him throw you in the trash. BYU, let's go.
Texas Tech giving up just 36 points in the last five games. Everybody knows their defense is elite, but they played 4 weeks ago. I think BYU makes enough adjustments to keep this thing relatively close. I think Texas Tech probably wins by 10, but that's not 12.5. And remember, I like Cougars.
Yes, your math is correct.
Isn't it telling, though, that after that first game, they still install them as a 12.5 point favorite? It's just a bad matchup for BYU. Like, so much for, hey, second time around, you can't beat a team twice. I expect them to roll BYU.
SEC championship game in the hotbed of college football, the melting pot, Atlanta. Georgia favored by 2.5 points against Alabama. Heather.
Well, at the beginning of the season, remember when you guys sprang that on me and you said, pick a team that's going to win it all. And I was like, wait, I don't know how to do that. And I said, Alabama. I'm going to stick with that, and I'm going with Alabama.
Georgia's lost 10 of the last 11 in this series. The one time they won, it was a rematch game. The national championship game in 21, January of 22. Give me Georgia.
Yeah, everything here says take Bama. They have Georgia's number. Greg pretty much stole all my thunder. I'm taking the Bulldogs.
Kirby, 1-7 against the Tide, 0-2 against Kalen DeBoer. I'll take the Crimson Tide.
I'm going to go with the Crimson Tide as well. As much as I don't want to pick Alabama in this game, I just think, hey, 10 of 11, there's that mental block right there.
Big Ten championship game in Indianapolis, Ohio State, number one, 4.5 point favorites against number two, Indiana. This is the first good offense OSU is facing. Just happens to be the number one offense in the country. I'm going to take the Hoosiers.
Well, when you have a number one offense versus a number one defense, usually the number one defense prevails here. I think Ohio State wins by double digits.
I think Indiana's better than last year, and it was 7-7 going to the two-minute warning. Unfortunately, I think Ohio State's better than last year. How about this stat? OSU is the first team in 50 years to hold their first 12 opponents under 17 points. You got to go back to the 75 Gators. I'm going to take Ohio State.
I understand all the logic behind this, but I think Indiana is the more complete team. Cignetti is a guy that can make those players believe. They know what happened last year. He is going to motivate this team to play above even where they have been. I'm going to take the Hoosiers.
I'll take Ohio State.
To the NFL, Ravens hosting the Steelers. Baltimore is favored by 5.5 points, Tom.
You know, this rivalry has had a tradition of just being a field goal game, it seems like, no matter what, who wins. And I think the Steelers find one last gasp here and keep this game close. I will take the Steelers.
I'm going to take the Ravens. I've been all aboard that express. I think they're going to win the division, and I just don't think Aaron Rodgers, especially playing injured, is going to offer up much resistance.
Yeah, I just don't think Aaron Rodgers can do it. And as much as I love Mike Tomlin and what he has done there, and I know that he'll be well-motivated with all of the chatter that's going around, I think it's a dumpster fire. Give me the Ravens. They're fighting for their lives, and I just think they're a better team.
Yeah, I'm going to choose the Ravens too, unfortunately. I want to pick something different than you, Jim, but I'm not.
Sorry.
You should just pick opposite me.
I did for most part for all the other games.
Taking the Ravens. Caw-caw! Packers at Lambeau Field. They're hosting the Chicago Bears. Green Bay is favored by 6.5 points. Jim.
This is the Costa lock. The very first of the season. I feel so strongly about this. The Bears are in first place. Why are they nearly touchdown underdogs? Why isn't anybody betting Green Bay? Why is the public getting suckered into the points and the Bears? I think the Packers should run the ball. I think they will pressure Caleb Williams with four. They'll get some takeaways. Green Bay, Costa lock.
This is where I'm actually going the opposite game because I think you're right. But since I keep picking the wrong way, I'm going to take the Bears.
I'm going to take the Bears too.
Okay. Jim,
yeah, I got to pick up a game somewhere.
I like your reasoning. However, I already wrote F the Bears. Time to kind of embrace the Bears. How about F the Packers? Give me the Bears.
Yeah, I'm going to take Chicago here, too. So your Costa lock is on an island.
Let's go.
And I think the Bears are going to be able to consistently run the ball against Green Bay, not like in Philly, but enough for the Packers to give the passing game for the Bears a little bit more room. And the pass rush won't get there quite as much. Caleb is elusive. Jared Goff isn't. Give me the Bears.
Thursday night football on Prime. Carrie Underwood is out. Shaboozy is in. Every Thursday night. Lions are 3.5-point favorites at home against the Cowboys.
That's a great decision. That is an unbelievable decision. I think it's going to be an outstanding halftime show. And I'm just going with my heart on this one. I can't pick the Cowboys in any way, shape, or form. So give me the Lions.
Well, I can pick the Cowboys, and I'm going to, and I hope that I'm wrong.
Yeah, you're a Spartan that has also taken Ohio State and the Cowboys. Very typical.
The Lions don't, quote, suck, I think, what we've been hearing this week. They're just another team this year. I think they happen to be on the good end of just another team. They bounce back. Give me the Lions.
A tough game to pick here. This was the toughest one I thought that's on the board. You know, it's a night game, so everybody's going to be a little tipsy tonight, by the way. I'm going to take the Cowboys, and it's because I just don't, until I see the Lions defense play better, I just think Pickens and Lamb are going to roam the secondary. And if the pass rush doesn't get home, Dak will pick it apart. And the running game for the Cowboys has been kind of sneaky this year.
Yep.
Enough to keep the Lions, you know, in terms of not just selling out to stop the pass. Give me the Cowboys.
It's time for Costa's perk.
Cowboys are playing like they're the better football team. But this is a great buy low spot for Detroit. Wounded animal, backed into a corner, off a loss. You've heard of gut check. How about grit check? Give me the Lions. Those are the picks. Brought to you by Shaner Roofing, mymichiganroof.com. It's 97.1.
In the Motor City, winter isn't just a season. It's a challenge, and we all are up to that challenge. We look out the window, and we see the snow and say, yep, I got it. And when the snow starts piling up on Woodward and the slush takes over on I-75, you don't need a sleigh. You need a Sierra. This is professional-grade capability. The GMC Sierra, built to dominate the job site and upgrade your driveway. So whether you're hauling the family tree or towing the toys up north, and you know how much we love our toys, whether it's a boat, a snow machine, four-wheelers, we all love to have them. The Sierra delivers the power, the tech, and the premium luxury that you've earned. But you need to move fast. Right now, the Metro Detroit Buick GMC dealers are holding their holiday event. This is your chance to get behind the wheel of the truck that defines Detroit toughness. Don't let the holidays pass you by. These offers are absolutely going to end on January the 2nd. Start the new year in professional grade style. Visit your Metro Detroit Buick GMC dealer today. We are professional grade.
We had to bump the picks up with the Lions playing on Thursday. We'll still have Dear John.
All right. Week off last week.
Thursday staple. Mm-hmm. 7:35. Some great responses sent in by you guys. Advice. John Jansen's got it.
I'm excited to hear the topics this week.
Oh, I can give you a little...
Got me a little teaser?
Yeah, a little teaser for you. Okay, here are your prompts. Am I being selfish? Bathroom etiquette.
Oh, boy. I'm an expert.
12-year standing bet with my now deceased father. Mm. And tempering expectations.
Okay.
7:35. Got a chance to win some money at 7:25 with two Grand Slam. Tuesdays and Thursdays. All right, John. Let's not reinvent the wheel here. Lions are playing a big game. Question for you, for our listeners. Will they win it?
Yes.
Okay, we'll move on. That's quick. All right.
Yes. I mean, yeah, you heard my pick. I didn't and lock it. Yes, I understand the question.
Why and why not? Yeah, if you just want to text in who wins the game, I suppose this would be the shortest topic in the history of radio.
Correct. But I do think they win because, well, it's not only because this team under Dan Campbell has always found a way to respond by not losing back to back. They may lose every other game like they're doing this year, but they don't lose back to back. And why is that? Well, it's not just a matter of, well, we need to play harder, we need to work harder, we need to, you know, be more aggressive, we need to be more intense. That's all part of the equation, but it's not the only thing. They also need to be smarter. And I'll go down with the ship. I know Dan, and I do believe that he is a very smart football mind. I know he's been stubborn to this point, but in this game, and I don't want to sit here and say, well, put it on the defense, because if you just simply say that, then you look across the way and you say, well, CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens, and their run game isn't great, but it's sufficient enough. I do think that you can get to Dak Prescott. The question is going to be, can you get him down?
Right.
He is an elusive quarterback. He's a strong quarterback. So it's not just going to be, hey, I'm going to try and swallow him up and you know, run over top of him. He'll duck underneath. He'll break some tackles. He'll throw the ball downfield. And then you're like, oh, man, I can't stop this guy. I do think that the pass rush has to be Aleem McNeil crushing things from the center of the pocket, pushing those offensive linemen back. And I'm not expecting him to have a 2-sack, 3-sack. In fact, I don't even expect him to have a sack. That's a bonus if he gets home. It is simply, this is a Hutch game. You're going to have to find ways to win. And if it's against one, if you're manned up, and it's going to happen. It's not like Hutch doesn't get manned up throughout the course of the game. There are situations and times where it's going to happen. When you have those situations, you have to win. When it's two, I'm sorry, it's tough. I know that. But you're going to have to find a way to win then as well. And it's being smarter of not flushing him out of the pocket, but collapsing the pocket. And so he's got nowhere to go. Throwing lanes also become, you know, exit strategies for quarterbacks. They know where those throwing lanes are going to be. And if there's a throwing lane, that means there's a void in the defense, and I can also escape that way. You've got to be able to design your rush plan so that you minimize the throwing lanes and you maximize batted passes, but you also find a way to get home and there's no escape route for Dak Prescott.
I'm going to pick up where you just left off because I think this is a lot about Aiden Hutchinson. The strength of the Cowboy offensive line is the interior, right? Cooper Beebe's the center. That's a good pick they made. They used an early selection on Booker at the right guard. And those guys have generally played pretty well. I think to Tom's point, the run game in Dallas is maybe under people's radar, but has been surprisingly good. The tackles. Steele is the right tackle. He grades out 37th among right tackles. Aiden Hutchinson has had big days against the Cowboys the last 2 years. Last year, before he got hurt, he already had a sack and was all over the quarterback. The year before, he had 3 sacks against the Dallas Cowboys. Mm-hmm. This is a big spot for Aiden to get in the backfield, get some sacks, not just pressures, speed the quarterback up, get the other team off the field, and put Detroit in a position to activate the crowd, take advantage of their home field, and make a last stand. This is not us saying that they're going to save the season, but for a night, they're going to have to keep the season alive. And I think they are acutely aware of that. I think they know what's at stake tonight, and they are backed into a corner as a wounded animal. They might not be good enough, but they're going to have to be gritty enough. And this is a true test. Are you still a gritty football team or not? They lose this game, John. I think we can do away with all the grit signs in town. They're not gritty enough if they don't win this game.
Right, and but it also doesn't eliminate them. They could still be a gritty team. They're going to have to, and I think that this team, if they're going to make the playoffs, they're going to have to scratch and claw for all 17 games. There is going to be nothing easy on this schedule because it doesn't ease up at all. Even the Steelers, like, they play a really good brand of defense. So you're going to have to find ways to scratch and claw and give yourselves a chance. And I think tonight they do actually give themselves a chance. It may not be pretty. It doesn't have to be pretty. It could be very much like the Giants game. That's fine. But just win by one. That's all we care about now. Give yourself another chance to go out to LA and prove that you're a good team. I don't think anybody's going to mistake this team for a great team. Right now, I think there's a lot of people that are saying, well, they're not even good. They have the ability to change that narrative.
You said if they lose, they're not out. Mathematically, you'll correct. Be correct, but their season's done if they lose tonight.
It looks dark.
How about this text? Guys, this is the least confidence I've felt going into a game in like 3 years. And it almost makes me feel like Campbell reminds us who he is and the Lions kick some ass today.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree. And that's why I do trust Dan to be able to make some adjustments, to make the right calls at the right moments. And some of those might be punt, put the defense back out there, get a stop, play field position. It may be, you know, I don't want it to come down to a field goal battle because as much as we like our guy, their guy is the best in the business.
Correct. Guys, I think Dallas punks the Lions tonight, just like the Lions punked Dallas last year. This is the end of the road for the Lions this season, Joe in Shelby Township. How big a deal is what happened the year before?
Oh, I don't think it matters.
But we did see it matter for the Lions. They clearly wanted to make a point against Dallas last season because of the whole, you know, two-point conversion and Skipper reporting eligible. It clearly was an extra bit of motivation for Detroit a year ago.
Okay, so when they got they didn't lay off.
Well, and I think Dallas is looking at this the same way, right?
They may. I don't know, nor do I care how Dallas looks at this. I know it matters in the game, but I don't necessarily think that what happened last year, because you look at it and you say both teams are different. And I think all the guys realize that. Now, were they embarrassed? Sure. But I think all of those things matter in, when you get embarrassed, it's the preparation for the season. It's the preparation for the game. And maybe it motivates them to watch a little bit more film. Maybe the coach is doing something different. But again, the coach is different.
Guys, this team gives me no reason to believe they're going to win tonight. I'm really surprised that they're even favored. Might be the home field advantage, but how are we going to stop a red-hot Dallas offense and generate enough points with our subpar offense to even keep up? That's Ron in Livonia. There's a lot of doubt on the texts. We'll get some texts. We'll get some of your phone calls. 248-539-9797. As I mentioned, we're giving away some money. The two grand slam is coming up at 725, and Dear John is at 735.
Mm-hmm. Set your radio dial.
It's 97.1.